I want to preach to you today from Ephesians chapter 3. I ask for your prayers as I minister this to you. I told Mike, who works on our security team, before I preached this message last night, I said, I'm already frustrated that I haven't preached yet because I know that I will not have the ability to show this to the people quite like God showed it to me. And that was very true. I went home last night. I told Holly, I said, I didn't get it out right. But I have a feeling that this crowd is going to pull it out in a way that the Saturday night did not. Can I count on you? So a little neck rolls. Get your head ready to nod if you can't say amen. Sing a little vocal scale if you plan on shouting me down. Get that voice warmed up. Get those hands ready to clap. Get that pen ready to write. God's got a word for you today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, the great apostle Paul is praying for a church that he spent 3.5 years with, and he has some instructions to give them about how they should take a look at their lives. He says, I'm praying for you that out of his glorious riches, that God may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Everybody say, that's deep. Verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. That's my verse right there. When I sign a book for somebody, I always put Ephesians 3:20 in hopes that they look it up, because I believe our God is a more God, an exceeding God. He's bigger than whatever you're facing. He's bigger than your doubts. He's bigger than your insecurities. He's bigger than your inabilities. He's bigger than your deficiency. He's bigger than even your ability to believe in how big he is. That's how great God is. He fills the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he is able to do immeasurably more than you ask or even know to imagine. You can't even make believe in your mind how big God is. You can't even fantasize about how forceful his promises are coming to pass in your life. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, Rick Standen, than we ask or even imagine, beyond your wildest thoughts, beyond your wildest dreams, beyond your secret desires. God is bigger. You need to supersize your God in your mind today. You need to pull up to the window and tell life, I got a big God. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Somebody say amen. I want to key in on that verse where it says he is able to do immeasurably more. And I want to talk to you today about measuring more. Measuring more. This sermon is for everyone who has ever felt like you don't quite bring me my stick, Buck. Like you don't quite measure up. This sermon is only for the short people. I remember telling Sarah Bonch, my sixth grade crush one time, I like being tall for my age. She said, oh, you're not tall. It was the first time that I ever really thought about it. I was taller than my little brother. My standard of comparison was shorter than me. But she said, no, honey, I know tall. You're not tall. You have moments like that in your life where you think, you know, I'm doing pretty good. And then you get around somebody else. Like when I thought I was getting good at tennis. And Larry Hubacka used to play tennis in middle school. And hasn't played much since. So I thought, you know, I've been taking lessons. I'll go play Hubacka. I'll beat him. He didn't play since middle school. Just say I fell short. I didn't play tennis again for another year. I'm driven by measurement. If we ever have a conversation, I'll probably ask you a question about like this. On a scale of 1 to 10, So if someone says, I really like the restaurant, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, that sermon was good. On a scale of 1 to 10, that's just how I'm wired. I just measure. I've always enjoyed measuring. When I used to go fishing with my father, I remember that I would actually keep score of the fish versus us, because the idea of just fishing for relaxation held absolutely no allure for my competitive mindset. So I developed a sophisticated scoring system to see whether we were winning against the fish. Touch somebody, say, that's sick. And so that's kind of followed me through life, honestly, and even in pastoring, you know. To measure ministry is difficult. And Paul tells us as much. He says, I want you, Ephesians, and I think he would say it to us as well, to spend some time in your life measuring what's actually immeasurable. Often I wish there were a scoreboard for how good was my sermon. You know, it's like to just be good to know. Did you win? Did you lose? It'd be good to know. I mean, it should be good to know. But how do you measure the difference that a sermon made? Think about it. Do you measure it by the volume of the applause, or do you measure it by how much you made people laugh? What are you measuring? Are you measuring entertainment or empowerment? Because if you're measuring empowerment, there may be times where people can't say a word because the truth of what God is speaking is hitting them so deep, they feel naked. Just trying to cover themselves a little bit because they feel like you've been spying on them that week. How do you measure ministry? Is it by how many people come? Now that I'm on TV, they tell me that our reach is millions and millions of households. That's our reach, but that's not necessarily our impact. How many people are actually tuning in? Of the people that are tuning in, how many just have it on for background noise? It's very difficult to measure this. And so what we resort to often in our lives is, rather than measuring, as Paul suggests, the height, the depth, the width, the length of God's love, which is so intangible and so difficult to measure, we begin to measure the things that we can see. Ephesus was an important city, so it's no mistake that Paul would write to them in this way. He knew the temptation for them to measure their success based on the standard of commerce. Ephesus was not only a port city, but also a very influential city in its day. If you measured the city by how much activity there was in the economy, by those standards, it would have been a successful city. But Paul says, I'm praying for those of you who are a part of the church at Ephesus. And I'm going to keep this ruler in my hand for most of the sermon, because it just really feels like I've got an edge on you as I wave this at you and smack you on your hand or something. They don't do that anymore in school, Phil. They're not allowed to. How many think we should bring the ruler back to the classroom? In fact, I will bring my child's teacher a ruler. I'll buy the ruler if they'll agree to use it. Talk to me. But he gives us, I guess you could say, a heart improvement project. And he says, I know that you're measuring your waist size, and I know that you're measuring your bank account, and I know that you're measuring how quickly you climb and different spheres of influence that you want to have and what you perceive as wins and losses. But I pray that out of his glorious riches, those invisible riches, because everybody who has stuff isn't rich. And everyone who doesn't have stuff isn't poor. Some of the people that you feel sorry for feel sorry for you. Because you have what you want, but they have what you need, which is real joy that goes beyond stuff. And some of the people that you're jealous of are miserable. But, you know, if you measure, if you're all the time just measuring stuff you can see, if your whole life is about, like, do I measure up? And I know everybody asks this question, and I know it's not the same for everybody as to exactly what metric system we use, but I will say that heaven has a different metric system than humans do. Paul said, how high, how wide, how deep, how long is the love of Christ? How high? He's always above you, watching over you. How long? He'll never stop. How wide? You got a good base. How deep? You got roots in this thing. I want you to know the multidimensional love of God for your life. And I don't want you to size up everything on the outside and forget to size up what matters on the inside. And this is such a challenge to me. And so out of that challenge today, I want to speak a few words. And I want to encourage you that you are, as a child of God, blessed beyond measure. Make that declaration. Say, I'm blessed beyond measure. So don't measure me by what you can see. Because there's more to me than what you see. I am a child of God. And I want to know how high, how wide, not how wide are my hips. I want to know how wide is His love for me. How long, how deep. Now this reminds me of when John was in the book of Revelation seeing a vision of the new Jerusalem. Look at this in Revelation chapter 21. Look at this on the screen. Look at this. He's seeing this vision of a city that's maker and builder is God. And the angel starts talking with him. And he said the angel had a measuring rod. Take this for me, Keith. He had a measuring rod of gold. So it's fancier than my measuring rod, but I'm trying to be responsible with the church finances. I didn't think a golden ruler would be too worthwhile investment of church funds. But just use your imagination. He said he handed me a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. I don't preach on Revelation much because it scares me. Smart enough to preach this stuff. But I do understand how to interpret the symbolism of what John is seeing here. He said the city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. As long as it was wide, he measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length. That's a number that symbolizes order, perfection, completion, and government. 12,000 stadia in length, as wide and high as it is long. I love that. As wide and high as it is long. You need to understand that everything that God creates is made to measure. Holy Spirit, help me preach this. Because he said on every side, it was perfect because God made it. On every side, no matter how you measure it, it was perfect because God knows how to measure out what he builds in your life. He knows how much of this you need, how much of that you need, how much of that you need, how high you need to go, how talented you need to be, what abilities you need to have. Touch somebody next to you. Say, I'm made to measure. You need to understand that I'm fit for this life that God called me to live. I'm completely and perfectly designed for the calling I have received. On every side, God's got me. There's not one thing he left out. There's not anything I needed to be taller. That's not... So I know I can rise to the occasion because my maker and builder is God. And on every side you want to judge me, I'm just like I ought to be because God made me. Then the angel measured the wall using, check this term out, using human measurement. Human measurement. Canada meters. Human measurement. Every other industrialized nation in the world other than the United States, metric system. We've been holding out strong since 1866, and we're not changing anytime soon because we are the land of the free and the home of the feet and the inches. Don't mess with us. But human measurement, he used human measurement can tell you how wide it is, how long it is, how high it goes, how much they have, how much they do, where they went to school. I think we ask questions sometimes, and what we're secretly doing, and often innocently enough, is we're sizing people up. So where'd you go to school? So where do you work? Here's the question you ask somebody when you meet them. What do you do? What am I doing? I'm taking my stick to you. I'm gonna size you up. See if we have anything in common. See what team you like. Sizing you up. Seeing if I would like being around you. Who are you voting for? Sizing you up. Trying to size up your values. Sizing you up. Where do you guys live? Sizing you up. What kind of neighborhood? Where do your kids go to school? I'm sizing you up.
maybe I'm just trying to be friendly, but I do it in ways that involve a stick. And if there were a way for me to look inside of you, maybe I wouldn't have to use my stick, but that's all I've got is human measurement. So the angel showing John this city, and he's measuring it according to human measurement. That's not a bad thing, but it's limited. It's limited. It's not bad to count how many people come to church, but if that's all you count, it's limited. It's not bad to count how many people raise their hand when we invite people to receive Christ at the end of a sermon. But if that's all we measure, it's a limited measurement because it measures a moment. It doesn't measure the next step that took place after that. It's good to measure how much you read the Bible, but that's a human measurement. That can't tell me whether your heart is growing. Pharisees read the Bible more than anybody, and Jesus called them snakes. That's a human measurement. How many verses you have memorized? That's a human measurement. How long you pray? That's a human measurement. Sometimes you do that stuff just to feel superior to other people who don't. It's not that you're getting bigger in your faith. It's that you're trying to downsize people by gaining some kind. Anyway, it's a human measurement. So he measures the city, and so he says, I want to measure this in terms you can understand. And he measures the thickness of the wall. But then he says in verse 18, the wall was, check this next phrase out, made of. It was made of jasper. Jasper in the Bible is always used, Reuben, to represent glory. Gold is representative of purity. It was a pure measurement. Jasper represents glory. You missed it. You missed it. Humans measure how far it goes and how much it is. God measures what it's made of. So it wouldn't matter how high it went if it wasn't made of something solid enough. That's what made it the New Jerusalem, the city of God. Wasn't how high it was, wasn't how long it was, wasn't how wide it was, wasn't what kind of jewels hung from it? It was what the walls were made of. I know how high your walls are, but what are they made of? I know what brands you wear, but what are you made of? And humans measure with sticks. I feel a teaching flow today. I don't really plan to preach very much. Just want to teach a little bit today. I preached last week. I'll preach other weeks. But this week, I just want to ask you, are you measuring what it looks like? Or what it's made of. The people of God got in the worst trouble of their life trying to measure with a stick. Because see, the nation of Israel, one day they came to Samuel, their prophet, and they said, we want a king. Because all the other nations have a king, you know. We want to be like everybody else. Her mom never makes her, and I want to be like all my other, we want to be like the other nations. We want a king. We want like a human king. We want a king we can see. We don't want an invisible king. God said, fine, you can have a king. And guess who they picked? They picked this guy named Saul. Now, one thing I want to tell you about Saul, because I could tell you how he ended up being very disobedient to God and how he ended up becoming very impatient and how he ultimately brought trouble upon himself and the nation. But what I wanted to tell you about Saul in the context of this sermon was he was tall. He measured up. In fact, you know what the Bible says about Saul? It says that he was a head taller than everybody else. And so they said, we want that one. We want the tall guy. And Saul was tall. But the problem with Saul was he wasn't true. He was tall, but he wasn't true. And when you measure people, and when you measure problems, and when you measure things in your life with a stick, you only see what's at the surface level. That's why some of you made so many dumb mistakes in your dating life. Because all you had was a stick. Many years later, God wanted to replace Saul. Because he was tall, but he wasn't true. And when Samuel came to town to anoint a king, he was looking at one of Jesse's sons named Eliab, and Eliab was tall. And so, you know, Samuel had a flashback because the first king he anointed was kind of tall. And so Eliab was tall, kind of like Saul. And so Saul thought to himself, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. So he's looking at his standing. He's looking at his status. But God said something that we would do well to hear in our lives. He said, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, do not consider his appearance or his height. How many times have you gotten in trouble looking at something according to its appearance or its height? How much trouble has your measuring stick created in your life? Because you are looking at it with human measurement. But we came today to get heaven's measurement. And heaven's measurement isn't like human measurement. It's very different. In fact, God says, don't look at what you're inclined to look at, for people look at how tall it is. People will look at your boots. People will look at your purse. People will look at your walk. People will look at your wallet. People will look at how much. People will look at how many. But God doesn't measure like people measure. The Lord doesn't look at the height. Check this. The Lord looks at the heart. Paul said, I want you to know how high and how wide and how long and how deep. Not the stuff around you. You measure that enough. I want you to take a good look at what's happening within you. People measure height. God measures heart. Are you measuring your life by the height of it or the heart of it? Because if you measure by the height, you might be disappointed because you might not have what they have. But if you measure by the heart, you can say, God is working in me. He's strengthening me with power in my inner man. I've got a power that goes beyond my performance. So tell the person next to you, say, you're looking at me wrong. You're measuring me with a stick when you should be using a scale. Yeah. I know you've been avoiding it for months. But today, we need to step on the scale. Touch your neighbor, say, step on the scale. Step on the scale. Come on, it's better than December. It's a good time now. You might as well do it. This is as good as it's going to get to step on the scale. How much different would the decisions that you make be if you put down the stick and stepped on the scale? How many of you want to know what this scale says right now? I'm not telling you. And see, that's the thing about the heart is you can't see that like this. You can only see it when you get honest and say, God, what's really in me? Question, how do you measure yourself? That's my first question that I ask. How do I measure myself? Write it down. Go through these with me. How do I measure myself? I read this little book. And by that, I mean the first chapter of a book by David Brooks, who was a journalist who became disgusted with his own narcissism. He wrote the book called The Road to Character. I cannot speak for the entire book, but the first chapter is fabulous. And he said that he wrote the book because lately he's been thinking about the difference between resume virtues and eulogy virtues. And the idea that most of us measure success in life by what we do, what we have, resume virtues, when we should be measuring by how much any of it is going to weigh when it's over. I have a son who's going into middle school next year. Prayers appreciated. Advice not welcome. There is no advice. There is no advice. There is no advice. Just survival. There is no
advice, because I remember middle school, and I remember when Sarah told me I was shorter than I thought I was, and I remember how many ways you try to compensate, and so it's all a measure of what? Popularity. That's the problem with middle school, is because somebody hands your kid a stick. Must be this tall to ride. Must talk like this to fit in. Must wear this to attract attention. It's a stick. And nobody's stepping on the scale. And everything is measured by popularity. But popularity is not purpose. And some of the kids who are the most popular, I feel like preaching to students for a moment. Just to break away from all the adults. It's too late for you anyway. And talk to the students. You already screwed up. But to the students, if you can weigh it on a scale, high school, middle school, college, if you can weigh it on a scale, not just a stick, some of the people who are the most popular now aren't preparing for their purpose. So what they're doing might be high, might be wide, might be long, but it's not made of glory. You know what the Hebrew word for glory is? Kavod. You know what kavod also means? Weight. Oh, how good is that for my sermon? God says, I measure glory. I measure weight. I measure the potential that I put in you. And if you let people size you up with a stick, you will compromise the essence of who you are in order to get a measurement that's not even accurate. I would rather sacrifice popularity on the altar of purpose than sacrifice purpose on the altar of popularity. Every time. Joseph wasn't popular at 17. Everybody hated that cat. His brothers didn't like him. His brothers tried to kill him. Not only could he not sit at the cool kid's table, he was thrown in a pit to die. But God was preparing him for purpose. Because God doesn't look at how much people like you. God doesn't look at how many people are on Snapchat. I don't even know how to use Snapchat. That's how uncool I am. But I'm not trying to be cool. I'm trying to have purpose. God doesn't look at how many followers or how many friends. God looks at faith. God wants to know what is the measure of your faith. Your faith. I'm looking at your faith. Not your face. Your faith, not your fans, your faith. You get on the scale, you do like Paul said in Romans 12:3. He said, by the grace that was given to me, I urge each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And you know, I thought that verse meant all my life till this morning. I thought that meant, you know, don't have a big head. Most of the people that I meet don't struggle with thinking they're better than they are. I mean, there are some. There are few. But in the context of the passage, which is actually talking about worship and sacrifice, I think there's a deeper meaning. I don't think he's just saying, you know, don't go into situations cocky and think you're better than you are. I think what he's saying is, you're not the judge. I think what he's saying is, don't trust your own self-assessment. I think what he's saying is, don't remove God from the throne and the judgment seat of your life and place yourself there as the new presiding judge over what you can and can't do. Stop talking yourself out of things that God called you to do. When you talk yourself out of something God said you could do, you call yourself wiser than God. And you're thinking of yourself a little too highly to tell God what you can and cannot do. Who do you think you are? Put your stick down. Step on the scale. Open the word of God. Give his words weight and say, God, I can do what you called me to do. I can be what you called me to be. I can carry what you called me to carry. I can take the weight. I can take the weight. So how do I measure myself? And really this will flow into how I measure opportunity. How do you measure opportunity in your life? I know how David did it. David was that one that Samuel was hearing about that was a man after God's own heart. A man with a big heart. Even as a little boy, he had a big heart. Saul didn't see it because he wasn't trained to see it, because Saul was a stick man.
And when Saul saw David standing in front of Goliath, he said, this will never work. Because David's like, let me at him. And Saul's like, no, let me see. Come back in 3 years. Paul told Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. So the assessments of others will often cause you to miss opportunities. Three different people told me not to start this church. People I respected. And one of them was a relative. Yeah, stick, you know. And you should listen to people that you love and people that love you. You should listen to them. But the problem becomes when you start letting the size of the opponent become bigger than the weight of the opportunity. So everybody else was really scared of Goliath because he was tall. Bible says that he was over 9 feet tall. Now that's a tall guy. That's a tall dude. I've met some NBA players before. I make them sit down while they talk to me. It's just how I cope. But this is tall. I've never seen anybody this tall. And for that reason, all the other soldiers with their stick out, we can't do it, stick out. You know, it's the thing. A lot of churches get their stick out when they try to decide if they're going to grow, if they're going to expand, if they're going to move forward. Oh, it's going to cost too much. People these days will never show up for that. There's just too much evil in the world. It's just the agenda of all these other people. Politics. Man, shut up. And get on the scale. And ask God, are you with me in this? And if he is, there's no devil in hell, no Goliath on the front line, no giant in your way, too big to fall. David said, he might be tall, but I've got the weight advantage. Hello, I got the glory of God. Hello, I got the name of Yahweh. I got Jehovah Jireh. I got Jehovah Mekadesh. I got Jehovah Sitkanu. You might have height, but I got weight. Yeah! High five somebody, say, I got the weight advantage. I got the glory of God working in my life. I'm strengthened with power in my inner man. I can face any giant. I can climb any wall. It's not too tough. He reigns above it. He's seated above it. Why would I be scared of how tall he is when my God reigns over us? You can get in so much trouble measuring an opportunity with a stick. Some of you got in a bad marriage because you had a stick instead of a scale. So dating seminar. Don't measure a man that you're considering spending the rest of your life with a stick. I could go so many directions with that. You want to wind up with a stick man? Or you want somebody with substance? See, because if I'm you, I want a dude who can take the weight of hard times. And when life gets hard, he won't run because he's a man after God's own heart. I want a dude with heart, even if he isn't as handsome. I found out Saul might be handsome, but when it gets hard, Saul can't handle it. I want somebody who can take the weight. Ask your neighbor, can you take the weight? Because that's what God measures. Man, she's fine. She's fine, but is she going to be a good friend? Because I promise, 25 years in, you want friend more than you want fine. Or you could get both. That's what I did. Come on, speak in tongues for my blessing, somebody. How do I measure myself? How do I measure opportunity? How do I measure results? Oh, this is a big one. How do I measure whether I matter? How do I measure whether it matters? If you are a mom, you better have your own scale, and it better not be calibrated to somebody else's calling. And it better not be calibrated to how somebody else raises their kids. And it better not be calibrated to how much money somebody else's husband makes. So you start trying to keep up with somebody. Your scales are off. Your scales are off. And now you're feeling the weight of an expectation that did not come from above. Because you let somebody else set your scales. I found this little verse in Proverbs 11, verse 1. It said that the Lord detests dishonest scales. God says, I hate it when you give weight to the wrong words. But accurate weights find favor with him. Acknowledging that what God put in me is the most important thing about me. You step on the scale, or do you break out the stick? Do you measure your life by the impact you can see? Are you a short game thinker? Some of you have the short view. You do what feels good in the moment. You know, like, oh, that felt good, man. That felt good. Yeah, it felt good. But what fruit is it going to bear next week? It feels good to tell somebody off. It feels good. You can get a result, a temporary result. Get it off your chest. I told him. Yeah, you told him. Yeah. Now you got to fix it. You got to go back and tell them that you're sorry for what you told them, because God's not going to let you live in disunity with people. So now you made yourself a mess. But if you measure the result on how good it felt, hey, man, it was pretty good. I told him, I got ahead, man. I'm letting them treat me like that. Yeah, but you now you're carrying the weight of an unwise decision. How many of you listen to Pastor Mickey White's podcast every week? Raise your hand. Oh, that's happened every time I've asked people that. I asked the pastors and church leaders last week that same question. Not a hand went up. Because he didn't have one. Pastor Mickey, by the time I left Monk's Corner, was barely getting the scriptures up on the screen. He wasn't technology. He sent me a text message the other day about giving me a heart attack. Pastor Mickey is in his 70s. But he sat down in my parents' living room and told me that God's hand was on my life in an unusual way. In fact, the words he used, he said, I've seen a lot of young men and women. I've never seen one that God has his hand on like he has his hand on you. And those words have weight. And if you've listened to my podcast, you've heard his voice, because it's still echoing through my life. I want to ask again, how many of you have heard Pastor Mickey White preach before? Sure you have. Sure you have. Because his words had weight. And now the words I'm speaking. Now what if you measured his ministry by how big the church got? You really going to measure whether you're a good parent by whether or not your kid likes you today? You're going to give them the stick? Tell something about your kid. They're stupid. They don't. For now, they're going to get smarter, but they're stupid right now. Just by virtue of the fact that they haven't lived yet. So you're going to give them the stick? You're going to be in a popularity contest with your 13-year-old? You better get on the scale. You better figure out, am I doing this God's way? You don't have to like me today. You don't have to understand it today. But I'm going to parent you the best way I know how. Because I put down my stick and I'm putting my feet on the scale. Give up too quick when you measure with the stick, don't you? Like, this isn't even. But you got to take the long view. And sometimes the cloud that builds the heaviest takes the longest. And sometimes when God really wants to create a result in your life, he puts that in the pressure cooker. And sometimes he puts it in the crock pot. And sometimes he lets it incubate. You can't judge it by what you see today. You can't judge it by how it turned out Tuesday. You gotta get beyond this and measure. You know, another thing that would probably be helpful to ask is, how do I measure this experience? This, whatever it is that comes into your life, how do you measure it? Because if you measure it with a stick, you'll always see the hardship But if you measure on the scale, like Paul did this one time, he was going through something so serious that he said, I despaired of life. It was so hard. It was so hard that I despaired of life. But watch this in 2 Corinthians. I believe 2 Corinthians. What scripture did I give you? Chapter 4, verse 17. He says, but when I put what I went through on the scale, I found it to be light and momentary. Now, while I was measuring it with a stick, it was hard and it went on forever. But when I put it on the scale, I found it to be light and momentary. It was trouble, but it was light and momentary. He said there was something else that tipped the scale. Oh God. There was something else that weighed more. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. Kavod. Weight. It's light when I compare it to the weight of the glory of God in my life. Here's what I came to tell you. Glory weighs more. Glory weighs more. The glory that God is getting out of your situation outweighs what you're going through. The glory weighs more. So declare it. Repeat after me. Say, my purpose outweighs my pain. My destiny outweighs my history. You better jump up and declare this to the devil. My crown outweighs my cross. My hope outweighs my hardship. God's grace outweighs my shame. The blessing outweighs my burden. And God's favor outweighs my failure. God's grace weighs more. Goliath's got the height, but God's got the weight, and he weighs more. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your weight in my life. Thank you, Lord. Come on, take 15 seconds and thank him for his glory on your life. I measure myself. How do I measure opportunity? How do I measure results? How do I measure this experience, what I'm going through? I know he is able to do immeasurably more. Somebody shout more, more, more. My pain weighs a lot, but God's grace weighs more. It's more, it's more. You know what? Heaven's metric system is based around one word, more. Glory to glory. Strength to strength. How unsearchable are his ways and his paths beyond tracing out. It's producing in me a weight that exceeds my worry. Now you got a decision to make this week. How are you going to weigh the situations in your life, and what will you give the most weight to that comes your way? How are you going to look at it? Oh, this all looks good. Let's take him. Oh, I'm never going to get through this. I'm up half the night tossing and turning because I'm measuring with the stick what God wants me to put. I'm feeling like a failure because I'm measuring with the stick what God wants to put on a scale. Oh, the glory of your presence. We, your temple, give you reverence. So arise from your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace, as your presence now fills this place. Oh, the glory of your presence. We, your temple, give you reverence. So arise from your rest and be blessed by our praise and sweet glory in your embrace. As your presence now fills this place, we thank you for your glory, Lord. We thank you for your strength. And we thank you for the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth of your love. And I pray that your glory be revealed in our lives this week in a fresh and new way. That we would give more weight to worship than worry, to promises than problems, to your empowerment than our enemies. We thank you, Lord, for your glory in this place. We thank you that your glory fell today as we worship. We thank you that your glory arises today as we respond. Come on, clap your hands. Give God the glory. Come on, give your God the weight. Give your God the glory. Give him the weight.